The Biggest Lie from Hell by David Heisler. The prevalent and incorrect opinion is that the devil spends all his time trying to get, especially Christians, to do bad and evil things. He may spend a very small amount of time on that, but that's not his primary concern. The devil spends virtually all of his time trying to get Christians to do good things. There is nothing wrong with doing good things. By our new divine nature, we will always be loving and helping and caring. But here comes the lie. When we think that by doing good things, we are somehow becoming more Christ-like or better Christians, all the time getting closer to God, we get caught up in the lie. If we believe the lie, and most will for a time period, the devil has accomplished his purpose. Get it? And the reason why you should get it is that we do not need to try and do anything to be who we are already. Let's be clear, we are never going to be more Christ-like or better Christians or even closer to God. We will only ever be ourselves. Why does the devil convince so many of this lie of Christian self-improvement? The lie is that self-improvement will make you a better Christian. He does this because that is his job. His job is to push us in a direction to accomplish what can never be accomplished, improved Christianity. Why is that his job? Because God wants each of us to get so frustrated with the illusion of improved Christianity that we move on from that way of thinking and grasp the reality that we are complete in Christ. Colossians 2:10. While we believe the lie, which we all will do for a time, our focus is on ourselves. Our focus is on becoming who we already have become. The true focus of Christianity is never inward. It is always outward to our needy and love-starved world. While we focus on self-improvement, we are not always aware of those in need. Why do we all have to go through this? Why are so many stuck in the lie of self-improvement? We have to go through it. Why do we have to go through this self-improvement lie? Simple. You must know darkness before you understand light. We all must experience self-improvement Christianity and come to the end of that road before we can understand the perfect work of the Savior's cross. Salvation transformed us, and we are now the sons and daughters of the Father and brothers and sisters with the Son. No self-improvement is necessary, only the understanding that in that instant we were transformed in our spirit and entered into a perfect union with God, nothing more to improve. However, we do not see or understand the truth of our personhood at that moment. This is exactly what John discussed in his first letter. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. 1 John 2, 12-14. What exactly is John talking about? What is Paul talking about when he discusses children, young men, women, and fathers? Clearly, there are not three types of Christians. There are, however, three ways we see ourselves. It's a progression of understanding who we are, not a progression of becoming more and more Christ-like by our efforts. That our lives, our Christianity, can be improved by our efforts is the biggest lie from hell. And that erroneous way of thinking is what the little man in the red suit concentrates his efforts. He perceives his job is to keep us thinking that despite the fact of our salvation and that God's Spirit lives inside of us, that there is still more that we must do, and that little devil does good. And it's an important job because he helps us change our that little devil does minds and way of thinking so we may grasp our true personhood. Simply said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. That's where we start, separated from God. No effort on our part can fix that, except perhaps faith. Jesus was crucified in reality long before there was ever a problem. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 12:8. And with his sacrificial death, through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. Colossians 1:20. And what does it mean to be reconciled, and how do we tie this all together? I pose the question of what reconciliation means to us. First, our reconciliation is a fact. Through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Colossians 1:20. The dictionary has several definitions, but the one that is most applicable is that reconciliation causes two or more to coexist in harmony. That is true. Every prayer by Jesus is fulfilled. Jesus prayed, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. John 17:21, we are one in him, with him. We do not understand that at first. That's why John talked about how you see yourself, children, young people, and fathers. When you grasp the eternal truth that you are already a father, mother, then you known him that is from the beginning, and you realize that there is nothing left but to live in that truth. But you must first be a child and a young person. You must believe the lie that by doing good things, we are somehow becoming more Christ-like or better Christians, all the time getting closer to God. You must experience a time of self-effort and attempted self-improvement until you get to the end of your rope. At that point, you are ready to embrace the truth that you are already one with the one that created you. Then you are free to be yourself. What does it really mean to be yourself? When I say just be yourself, that assumes that you know who you really are. In our childhood and young person of Christianity, we see ourselves as needing to improve. Improvement is good, but that depends on the type of improvement. If you play baseball and want to improve your swing and hit more home runs, that is a form of improvement. However, that is improvement of a skill, not who you are as a person. But we approach Christianity not as improvement of a skill, but improvement of our personhood. That's the lie. We will not improve who we are. We can only come to the realization of our true identity in Christ. When you stop believing the lie of self-improvement, you can say with John, as he is, so are we in this world. John 4:17. You can say with certainty that you were indeed crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. When that understanding comes, and it will, if you want to understand your true identity, you will stop the constant introspection and questioning your intent, your emotions, and every other attribute that makes you who you are. You will always be human, but you are now his human. You may have a lapse and question your identity, but you will come back to the truth that you are really him, being himself in yourself, with everything that makes you the unique person you are. A dear friend reminds me of a verse that sums up this topic. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. Galatians 1:15-16. At your moment of faith, people may say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. That is a great expression of faith, and your request is immediately honored. Not everyone has such a moment. For some, it may be a more gradual process. How it happens is not the point. The fact is that Jesus really came into your heart. You have received salvation. You are right with God. That's a done deal. And it is not going to change. I quote the above from Paul because at first it seems to read, "Reveal his son to me." That is true also, but that is not what the verse says. When it pleases God, he will reveal his son in you. Can you influence when God does that? You can. Jesus said to ask, if you want to really know intuitively your real person, ask, keep asking. When that happens for you, then you understand your reconciliation to your Creator. He lives in you. He lives exactly as the person he created you to be. The Christian self-improvement plan falls off like leaves from a tree in autumn. Now go boldly into the next moment with full knowledge and assurance that you are a branch of the true vine, expressing his life and love to a love-starved world. There is nothing left to improve, just a life to live. His life in you as you are.